This recording may sound a little strange. I'm recording it at home in my study because the recording at church didn't work properly. How is Christianity different from other religions? That's the question we're thinking about. Some would say there is no difference, that all religions are basically the same. Yes, there may be superficial differences, but in the end they all arrive at the same place. They're different paths, if you like, but they're on the same mountain, and they all arrive at the same summit. Here's one expression of that idea. Each great religion is another statement of the same timeless truths. So that's our first question. Is there a difference? Now, there is something attractive about that view, that there really is no difference. After all, we want to live at peace with each other, to get along together. And emphasising our differences won't help us do that. And there are similarities when it comes to the great religions, not least in the area of ethics and how we're to live. Most of these religions have some form of the second great commandment: you shall love your neighbour as yourself. Most are agreed that murder, adultery and theft are wrong. It's not good to take someone else's life, or their spouse, or anything else that belongs to them. Mind you, you don't need to be religious to think that. And there's another factor that makes such a view attractive, and that's the assault from secularism. There are two books whose titles sum up that attack. There's Richard Dawkins' book in 2006, The God Delusion. It's pretty clear from the title what he thinks of God. He's a delusion. Then there's Christopher Hitchens' book the following year, God is Not Great. It has the subtitle, How Religion Poisons Everything. Again, it's pretty clear what he thinks of religion. And they're just some of the more outspoken critics. They regard all religion as not only wrong, but positively dangerous. God's a delusion, they say. Religion poisons everything. Now, with that kind of assault, it's natural to want to stand together as people of faith. What's important is to defend religion against non-religion. And there certainly are issues where we can collaborate. Marriage would be one of those. The right to express our faith would be another. At the same time, we can't hide the differences. And the tensions between religious groups around the world demonstrate that. For example, Christians and Muslims in Nigeria, Muslims and Buddhists in Myanmar. Anyway, our focus is the difference between Christianity and other religions, although other differences between other religions will inevitably come to light. We ought to realise that Christianity was born into a world of other religions. We shouldn't think this question is a purely modern question. The Book of Acts in the Bible tells the story of the early Christians spreading the message of Christianity, and several times they encounter other religions. So skimming through the Book of Acts, we find Paul and Barnabas in Lystra, a town in the middle of what today is Turkey. And they have to stop the people worshipping them, as if they were the Greek gods Zeus and Hermes. Later, in Athens in Greece, Paul finds the people have an altar to the unknown god. So he calls on them to believe in the god that he knows. He knows the god they don't know. Then in Ephesus, on the west coast of modern Turkey, well, they were defined by their worship of the goddess Artemis, or Diana. That's who they were. One of their cries was, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." Then when some Ephesians become Christians, they know they have to stop the worship of Artemis. Now, the early Christians were deeply aware of these differences. They knew they were different from the pagan Gentiles around them. They also knew they were different from the Jews, who saw them as a sect. Many of them had been Jews themselves and were now no longer. And it was what they believed that made them different. And they were deeply aware of that. One classic summary of that is in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 1 and verses 12 to 14. I'm sorry, that's 22 to 24. He says, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Paul knew that what they preached set them at odds with both Jews and Greeks or Gentiles, much the same thing. And it was the message of Jesus and the cross that set them apart, Christ crucified. So they didn't think there was no difference. They didn't think they were merely offering another statement of the same timeless truths. They thought they were proclaiming what the Jews were waiting for, the Messiah, and what the Gentiles did not know, the living God. So Christianity has always been different from other religions. The question for us is how it's different from the religions we may encounter. Now, I need to issue a disclaimer at this point. I'm not an expert on world religions, and it may be that some of you know more than I do. It may be that I get some things wrong. If so, please forgive me and correct me. Gently, I hope. Well, we're only going to be able to look briefly at some of the world's major religions. And at this point, I showed a slide with Christians at 2,400 million adherents, which is 33%. Muslims, 1,800 million, 24%. Secular religions, 1,200 million, 16%. Hindus, 1,100 million, 15%. Buddhists, 520 million, 7%. And then Jews, 14 million, 0.2%. Well, that may be a bit hard to take in, and there is obviously some question as to how adherents are defined. But notice, first of all, that Christianity is the majority religion, and also that most of the world's population identify as religious, some 7 billion or so. That may not be obvious from where we stand in the United Kingdom, but that is how it is. Let me also point out that several religions are actually more numerous than Judaism, such as the Chinese religions, African traditional religions, Sikhism and spiritualism. I'm including Judaism rather than them because it's closest to Christianity, and we have to stop somewhere in this talk. Let me give you a brief history. Hinduism began around 1400 BC in India. And interestingly, that's largely where it's located, in and around India. Buddhism also began in India around 500 BC. Some were growing disillusioned with Hinduism, especially its strict caste system and the endless cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. Later, Buddhism spread east to China and Japan and was then destroyed in India by the Islamic invasion of the 13th century. And Buddhism also is pretty much where it began, that is, in China now and Japan and Southeast Asia. Islam began with Muhammad in the 7th century, in what we know as Saudi Arabia. Interestingly, that too remained strongest in the area where it began, the Middle East and also North Africa, plus, of course, Indonesia. It's Christianity that has shifted most from where it began. Now, that doesn't make it true, but it does make it the least culture-bound. Indeed, the centre of gravity of Christianity has shifted over the centuries, from the Middle East, where it began, to Europe, where it's been strongest for many centuries, and now to the global south, South America, Africa, and so on. That was our first question, is there a difference? And I think it's hard to say that there isn't. So the second question is, what is the difference? And we're going to look at three areas, God, Jesus, and grace. Let's start with what the religions say about God. We're clearly not going to be able to cover everything here. These are just some of the key differences. It's hard to say exactly what Hindus believe, because there are so many options and alternatives. At one writer comments, Hindus have an extraordinarily wide selection of beliefs and practices to choose from. They can, to use Western terms, be pantheists, polytheists, monotheists, agnostics, or even atheists. Having said that, they generally believe in a supreme being who is undefinable, impersonal, a philosophical absolute. Buddhism is essentially monistic, that is, all is one. So there is no personal God distinct from the creation. And the pain we feel comes when we fail to appreciate the oneness of all things. Judaism has the God of the Old Testament, especially as found in the first five books of the Bible. He's the creator, the ruler, and the judge of all things. Islam also believes in a single God. He is a unity, utterly separate from the world he's created. Certainly very great, but hardly very near to his people. Only Christianity gives us one God, yet in three persons. Not many gods, like some forms of Hinduism. Not a single God, like Judaism or Islam. But one God in three persons. And we find that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. I want to give you just a single Bible verse or short passage for each of these points, so you've got something in the Bible to tie it to, although there is a lot more that we could say. So here's what Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm not going to say much more about this now because we have another big questions on April the 7th, specifically on the Trinity. But notice that Jesus says they baptize in one name because there's one God, and he's known as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. And I'll say much more on April the 7th, but for now, just notice this. A God who is eternally related within himself, as he must be if he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that has profound implications for how we relate as human beings. Well, we're going to have to move on from God. So what about Jesus? We're going to have to limit ourselves, and we're going to focus on his birth, his death, and his resurrection. Naturally, these are distinctively Christian things. So in one way, it's not fair to insist that the other religions say anything about them at all. But they're so key to Christianity that it does seem good to see what Christians believe and how they might fit in other religions. So what about Jesus' birth? To sum up what the Bible says, we're going to go to John chapter 1. And in verse 14, John says, the Word became flesh. And this is the same word that John has already introduced to us in verse 1, where he says, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In other words, God himself became flesh. This is what Christians believe about the birth of Jesus. Yes, it happened through a virgin conceiving. That was the mechanism. But what it means is that God became human. So Jesus was fully God and fully human. Again, it's hard to be sure what a Hindu would say about that. One writer says, it is the essence of Hinduism that there are many different ways of looking at a single object, none of which will give the whole view, but each of which is valid in its own right. That probably means they'd adopt what Christians believe as another insight and incorporate it alongside other beliefs. Nothing gives the whole view. Everything gives a part of it. I think Buddhists would find the idea meaningless. How can God become human? How can anything become anything else? We're all one. It doesn't make any sense. Jews are still waiting for the Messiah to come. Increasingly, though, many Jews are waiting for a messianic age rather than a personal Messiah. Christians, of course, believe that Jesus is the Messiah that the Jews are waiting for. Muslims do believe in a virgin birth, but they believe Jesus was conceived by an angel rather than the Holy Spirit. And they don't think of him as divine, but only a prophet, a messenger of Allah. That's Jesus' birth. Now, Jesus' death. It's not just that Jesus died that is important to Christians, but what his death means. And there's a brilliant summary in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, Christ died for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So Christians believe that Christ died for us, the righteous for the unrighteous. That is, he died for sins, taking the punishment we deserve for our sins. And his death brings us to God, because our sins have been forgiven. For Hindus, there is no concept of sin against a holy God, so no need for salvation in this way. No need for forgiveness. Any wrong we do is due to ignorance. For Buddhists, similarly, there is no personal God to sin against. So there is no sin, no need for a saviour, and no God to be brought back to. Jews believe that Jesus died, and for them that proves he wasn't the Messiah. They believe in sin, in God's mercy and the need for atonement, but it's not clear how that atonement will be provided. Muslims don't believe that Jesus died. One of their surahs says, they slew him not, but it appeared so unto them. Most Muslims believe that Judas was killed in Jesus' place and that Jesus went straight to heaven. So those are some of the differences concerning Jesus' death. What then of his resurrection? Again, it's not just that the resurrection happened, or that he died, or that he was born, but what it means. What the resurrection means is critical. Here's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If there's no resurrection, there's no Christianity. The resurrection guarantees our faith because we can believe what the apostles preached. It guarantees our forgiveness because it was for our sins that Jesus died and was raised to life. It guarantees our future because it means we can be sure of life beyond death. Hindus believe in reincarnation, a chain of rebirths where they hope to rise to a higher state. Eventually, they achieve nirvana, which means being set free altogether from that chain of rebirths. The Buddhist idea of nirvana is somewhat different. It's a blissful spiritual condition with no passions, no hatred, no delusion, and everything one. Jews don't believe Jesus rose from the dead at all. Muslims believe he didn't die, so there is no resurrection to come. Now, all these differences point us to another difference, that the Christian message depends on certain things having happened. It's rooted in history. Jesus was born. He died. He was raised. It's not just the meaning that's important, but the events, the facts of history. Likewise, Judaism and to an extent Islam are rooted in historical events, but not Hinduism or Buddhism. They don't depend on anything having happened in history. Well, let's turn then to grace. Christians are familiar with talking about what God has done for us rather than what we do for him. And this is summed up in the word grace, which means favour or generosity or kindness or gift. So here's what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works. Salvation is God's gift to us, paid for by God's Son Jesus, and given to us by God's Spirit, a gift that we receive gladly by faith, and we don't work for it. It's by grace and through faith. This stands in marked contrast to the other religions. Hindus arrive at nirvana by one of three routes: the way of works, the way of knowledge, the way of devotion. Buddhists arrive at the end of all pain by following the Eightfold Path. Right views, right resolve, right speech, right behaviour, right occupation, right effort, right contemplation, right meditation. Muslims follow the five pillars of Islam to earn their salvation: the creed they recite, prayer five times a day, almsgiving, fasting in Ramadan, pilgrimage to Mecca. All these religions, in one way or another, say do this and you will be saved, whatever exactly it is that salvation means. Christianity, on the other hand, doesn't say do, it says done. God has done it. Believe it, and you will be saved. So there are many, many differences between Christianity and other religions. In fact, many more than we've had time to mention in this brief survey. But perhaps I can end here by saying the key difference is Jesus. Who he is and what he's done. What's the difference between Christianity and other religions? Jesus. It's only in Jesus that God has become human by his birth, to pay for our sins by his death, and to bring us to eternal life by his resurrection. And he gives that eternal life to all who believe by his grace. No wonder the Apostle Peter could proclaim boldly when he was questioned by the Jewish leaders over what he was doing. And this is in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else. That is, no one else other than in Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. What's the difference between Christianity and other religions? In the end, the difference is Jesus.